Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode on the Stretch Street Podcast. This is the Energetic EJ, and I am super excited to be here as always. So going right into it without much to say, I have a lovely guest all the way from Denmark today. My guest today is the founder of Passion for Achievement, which is all about personal growth, high performance and lifestyle design for online entrepreneurs and freelancers. He is a number one best-selling author and obsessed with building a world-class lifestyle through personal growth tools. Here is why you should listen to him and apply the life lessons he will be sharing with us in today's episode to make your own life experiences richer, fuller, and better. All right? Here are some of the things he has achieved. He escaped years of drug abuse, crime and mental illness. He climbed from warehouse worker to training and managing over 100 people. He built Passion for Achievement to thousands of customers and clients all over the world. He wrote a number one international Amazon best-selling book on lifestyle design for entrepreneurs. He built his dream physique in less than 6 months. He designed a dating life he's very content with and an incredible circle of social influence. He's been top 1% in Europe and or nationally in multiple hobbies. Guys, he definitely has a lot to share with us today. So please welcome with me on the show today, Daniel Hug. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm super excited to be here. I think there's going to be a great conversation and just really happy to be on.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. Now, I'm going to start with these achievements, right? I want to know a little bit more about them. But let me ask you, you know, the last one that says you've been top 1% in Europe and or nationally in multiple hobbies. What are these hobbies? And, you know, how is that? How did you come about the 1% thing as well?
Yeah, so the reason I put that in there is to kind of prove that the high performance methods that I've been kind of learning through time are universal, and they work with just about everything you want to do, whether that's career or it's a health challenge or it's a hobby of yours, you can use this framework. And so these hobbies have been different. They can be video games. It have been martial arts. It have been, I did a lot of parkour at some point where I was, you know, traveling around Europe with some of the best people in Europe doing that. So yeah, this idea of pointing at something and saying that right there, I want to get really good at that, is something I find really fun, and I find it exciting, and I'm happy when I'm learning and progressing. And so I try obviously to focus on the things that truly matter, so my career, my health, my relationships, all of that. But the hobby thing was there to show that it works for just about everything.
Right. That's good to know. Okay. So when you say, you know, doing all of that and looking at all these different achievements that you've come about in your years, what was the starting point for you in making this shift and creating this framework that has worked for you or that you're now using and applying to help other people across the globe?
Absolutely. So everything that you mentioned on that beautiful list, I was the opposite of all of that at one point. I was very off track in life, especially during my teen years. I had a little bit of trauma growing up, all of that. So that kind of pushed me out of school. I was going to school maybe 3 times per week. And when I showed up, I would go, you know, I'd arrive too late. I'd go home too early. I would start hanging around the wrong crowd. Wouldn't take care of my health. That I wouldn't take my education seriously. Wouldn't really have a job. And so all of that. And I just realized, man, this is not going to end well. This is get worse and worse. It's not the right path. And I decided that if I'm actually going to give this life thing a chance, if I'm actually going to do it, then I want to do it big. I want a world-class life. I want a life that's worth living. So I'm not just going to do something that is tolerable or something I'm okay with. I want to really build something where I have the health that I want and the career and the finances and the freedom, all of that. So that was the turnaround. And so the first step of that was to figure out, okay, if I want a world-class life, the first question that comes to mind is, what is a world-class life, right? What are my values and what kind of life do I want to build around those values? So that was the first step of my journey, was figuring that out.
But what was the thing that woke you up? Because, you know, most times when we're going through those kind of experiences in life where it feels like we're off, totally off track, the scenario in my head is almost always when you say, you know, energy, you need an external force to kind of take you out or snap you out or wake you up to say, come on, dude, what are you doing with your life? What was that, you know, moment for you?
Yeah, and I have exactly that moment. I was on a kind of a bit of a vacation home or summer house, whatever you want to call it in English, with some of my friends over the weekend. We'd rented it. And it was just the wrong crowd. Like I said, it was a bunch of alcohol, a bunch of drugs, and just basically what we'd be doing every weekend. And then one of them came up with this fun little game where we should kind of guess or estimate how old we think we were going to be, you know. And some person would say, oh, I think I'll be 85. Another one would say, oh, I think I can do 92. And then it was my turn, and I just completely killed the mood, because with a stone cold face, I said, 21. And everyone was like, no, come on, Daniel, for real, how old are you going to be, you think? I said, there's no way that I'm going to make it past 21. Like, the way I'm going now with my, you know, with the drugs and the, you know, crashing cars and the crime, all of that, there's just, I don't see any scenario where I'm going to make it past that.
Oh, wow.
And that kind of scared me, not for my own sake, because I didn't really care too much about life. I thought life didn't seem like a good deal. It seemed like it was more pain, more sacrifice than it was good. So I was, right. I didn't care too much, but I had I had an amazing mother and a wonderful little brother. And I just felt like I can't do this to them. My family would have lost another family member, all of that. I just could not do that to them. So it started off being for them. But I still had this idea that I'm not just going to, if I just fix my life a little bit, it's still going to be painful. And then I'm going to live a painful life until I'm 90. So if I am doing this thing for them, then I got to do it right. And so, yeah.
Wow. That's a huge shift just from a game and then, you know, wake up call. And then, so when you got on that journey, now take us through the journey and the framework you talk about so that, you know, people who are listening can say, okay, maybe if there's something I can just latch onto to say, okay, if I could start from here as well, like he did, I might be able to turn my life around as well.
Absolutely. So the very first thing I did was I started just Googling the most simple terms. Things like, how do we build a good life? How do we become successful? How do we blah, blah, blah. And very quickly, I realized that personal growth was a big part of it. So I started wishing, you know, I started putting personal growth books on my Christmas list and my birthday wishing list and all these things. And I would just consume and read and read and read. Right. Eventually, I got a job as a cashier. I was working 11 hours per day as a cashier. And then by night, I would oftentimes work as a dishwasher, and everything I made, I was still living at home, right? So I didn't have many expenses. So everything I made, I just poured back into
personal development. Yes. Wow.
And what got very clear was, like I said before, the first step is clarity. I gotta figure out what exactly it is that I'm trying to do. What am I building? And when I say, what am I building? I don't think it's enough to say, I would like to be healthy. Because that can mean a billion things. You know, I will have people come up to me and say, Daniel, I'd really like to have more money. You know, I give them a dollar and I say, cool, you made it. What's next?
Yeah, more money.
Right? Yeah. So what I would want to know is, you know, hey, Daniel, I would like to do 60K a month in revenue with my business at an 80% right. profit margin within the next 6 months. So I try to get really clear. And so my objective as the first step was to kind of paint a very vivid, a very clear picture of my life that kind of included my values. So my values, you know, as people, we have sometimes some of the same values. We almost all of us value health. We value relationships. We all have some kind of financial stability, but also we have some values that are individual. So for me, freedom is big, but for others, perhaps it's more of a safety/comfort thing. So identify my values and then build a life or design a life around that. And that was the first step of many.
Right, right. So then how did the journey progress for you? What can you share with us one or two major challenges you had in that? Because, you know, when you've been used to, do you mind if I ask how old you are now?
I'm 24.
24. But the turning point started at what age?
Around 17, but then it was a little bit of, it wasn't, you know, in the movies, it's like,
exactly.
It happens and everything is perfect afterwards. But there was a lot of back and forth because I still had all my friends that were doing all these things and I still didn't really have my health or anything like that. So that's when it started going back and forth.
Okay. exactly what I was trying to pinpoint, because I know that when you've lived, you know, what you've been used to for like 17 years, and then you have this epiphany and you want to switch, you know, you have it, you have the clarity, you know exactly what to do. But oftentimes, like, yes, I want to work out just 10 minutes every day for the next 6 weeks. And 2 days into it, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't think I can do it. So what are some challenges you face on that, you know, shift? And, you know, share some of the challenges you faced, and then I'll come back to what are the life lessons you learned from those experiences.
Absolutely. So I will say, though, if you have the clarity on exactly what you want to do and how, you're well on your way. That's a really good first step. So, because I think a lot of people that set New Year's resolutions and stuff like that and then fail, a lot of it is actually they're not as clear as they probably should be. But then even when you have clarity, there are a bunch of challenges, obviously, such as overwhelm, procrastination, or... One thing I try to do a lot is I try to eliminate the decision. Because if you're putting a piece of cake in front of me and you're putting a salad in front of me, you know, sometimes maybe I'll pick the salad. I like to think sometimes I would be picking the salad, but certainly there'll be times where I'd be picking the cake as well. So I like to remove the decision altogether by making it routine, by making it a system. So I'm very big on habits and systems. So instead of saying, you know, let's say you've identified that to build your world-class life, you want health. And part of that is maybe you want more muscle mass. And then you've identified to do that, you should lift weights. Okay, then we'll build a system around that. So instead of saying, I will work out when I feel like it, and I have the energy, and I have the time, and the stars are aligned, I think it's better to say, I will work out on my way home from work on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for 45 minutes, right? So, because now there's no decision. Yeah. And one thing I'd recommend to people is you can start as small as you need to. In fact, I encourage it, because I see a lot of this, you know, I'll go from never having worked out ever to now I want to work out 2 hours per day, 6 days per week, and I need to eat only lemon water and broccoli, and it doesn't work. It's not sustainable. Right. Many of the things that I believe are the ingredients of success are things like discipline, momentum, and sustainability. And you have none of that if you're doing these intense, fast solutions.
Moves, right.
Yeah. So build a system. And I actually recommend starting very, very slow, because the tricky part is getting started. We all know that, right? The tricky part is actually going on the walk. But once you're out there, you can do 5 minutes more and 5 minutes more and 5 minutes more.
Right.
What I always tell people is the easiest thing in the world is to scale a system that is already a part of you. So if you're reading 5 pages of a good book every night, you can probably read 6 as well. And if you can do that, you can probably read 7. If you're in the gym for 40 minutes, you can probably do 45. And so the tricky part is just getting started. So identify a system. Make it ridiculously small, and then you just scale once it's kind of a part of you.
Right. So the main challenge is just having it to be a part of you, and which is the habit thing you talk about. So do you have any hacks? I mean, you've shared some now, but do you have a specific system for beating, let's say, procrastination, like you said? Like, okay, fine, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do it next week, or I'll do it when the stars align, like you said. Are there any hacks that you can share to beat procrastination in particular? Because I think, like you said, sometimes people really get to the point where they can set the decisions, they can set the systems in place, but then that procrastination is just the biggest thing that they deal with. Like, because again, it's like, the time will never be perfect to do anything in this life. Like, you just have to find a way. So do you have a hack or two that you can share with people? Like, okay, to beat procrastination, this is what has worked for me. You can try it out as well.
Yeah. So perhaps, I don't know if it's a hack, but maybe it is, but it's definitely an idea, which is one of my mentors. He told me that the two things in this world that scared him the most were momentum and a lack of momentum. And so having momentum is scary in a good way, because you can just run through brick walls and there is no procrastination. You have tons of energy, all of that. And a lack of momentum is scary in a bad way, because it leads to procrastination and overwhelm and a lack of confidence, all these things. So momentum is very, very big for me. So whether you're talking about a routine basis, so let's say, for example, with the weightlifting thing, I would do everything that I can to get some momentum, which once again comes back to this idea of starting small. Honestly, if you're listening to this right now and you've been thinking about going to the gym, I challenge you to go to the gym for 5 minutes. Literally just go there in your gym clothes, go into the locker room and then go home again. I promise. First of all, you're probably not going to do that, right? As soon as you're there, you'll probably work out anyway. But just set the barrier of entry very, very, very low. And then you get a little bit of momentum and then you ride that and you nurture it and you protect yourself against it, against temptations that could possibly drag you away from that. We could talk about that as well. So, but also on a per project basis, I know when I've been writing a book or if I'm writing an ebook or something like that, it's so wild how productive I am, how in flow I am when I'm like 60% into the book versus like in the beginning. It's very, very difficult to just go, okay, I'll go from word number zero to word number one, right? It's very difficult. So once again, find something that you can do. So let's say I was going to write a book and I sat down and I said, okay, I'll write my book now. And I feel like, maybe I should check my phone. Maybe I'll do it in an hour. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. That's clear indication for me that I'm in some way, shape or form overwhelmed or unclear on what I need to do or not confident that I can actually do what I need to do. And so then you say, okay, well, I'll just write a chapter. If that doesn't work, you say, okay, look, I'll just write a bullet point until you get all the way down to, if you must, I'm just going to open the Word document and I'll write one sentence. That's it. And I can go home. I can call the day off if I want. What happens for me when I do that and what happens for my clients is we write that first sentence and then we go, okay, I'll finish this paragraph. And then, okay, maybe I'll finish the page. And you know, and you look up and you're on page 17 and you're like, whoa, I'm still going. Yeah. So really getting started is just make it as easy as you possibly can to get started. I think a lot of people want to do this kind of beast mode thing where it's not, I have to go to the gym for 3 hours. Yeah, but you're not getting there if you expect yourself to do 3 hours. I think if you just told yourself to get in there for 30 minutes, maybe you'll end up being an hour. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I can totally relate with that. You know, when I used to frequent the gym, now I don't anymore. I just do my little workout from the room. But, you know, when I did that, I set the intention like, you know what? I'm just doing 15 minutes, nothing more, just 15 minutes. And then the way I anchored my at the time was I would go live so that I'm committed. Like, okay, I'm going live. I don't care if anybody's watching, but I'm going to go live for 15 minutes. And there are days that I will go as far as 45, sometimes 1 hour. I'm like, oh my God, this is good, right? So I love it. Like, set the bar as low as possible and just, you know, start and just do it until you get that momentum that keeps you going. Now, one of the other things you mentioned is about relationship, about, you know, building a social circle, an interesting social circle. How, you know, does that work for you? You know, what can you share with us in that regard? Because I feel like at the end of the day, when we talk about personal growth and development, it's personal. But there is a way it affects those around us. And no matter how great you think you are on your own, if you don't learn how to relate with people around you, it's still going to come back to like, what is wrong with, like, who are you? Like, you know, it's still going to be, it's either you end up being lonely or people just run away from you. And then at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, so what's the point of building this personal development? So relationships are also very important. What can you talk to us about relationships?
Yeah, absolutely. That's super important. So I would like to preface it by saying I'm probably not the world's leading expert on relationships, but I have come from, you know, having friends that now today have gotten 12 years and all these things. So now today I feel like I'm surrounded by people that are twice as smart as me, twice as rich as me, twice as healthy. I'm just everyone in my life. I just feel like I'm lifted up and I'm learning from them and I'm sparring with them in a perfect, passionate way. And so I have had that kind of journey. And I think a lot of it, honestly, not to sound like a broken record, but a lot of it comes back to really understanding your values. I think if you are not clear on your values, and especially if you're a little bit lonely, then you will very quickly just say yes to everyone. You know, so if someone wants to hang out with you, someone wants to spend time with you, it doesn't really matter what their values are because you don't know yours. And then it's just all random. And in general with life, if your intentions are random, you'll get very random results. So it's not like I'm seeking, you know, okay, how can I find a smart person and befriend him? It's not like that. It's more so that I know exactly what I find attractive in a partner. I know what I find attractive in a business partner. I know what I find attractive in a friend. And then I just let that come to me. Or sometimes you got to seek it, right? If I'm at an event or something like that. But really being clear on what it is that you can offer and what it is that you would like to have offered, I think it's such a big deal when it comes to relationships.
I love it. Clarity still comes to play here. Like, really, I think to build an amazing life, you just need to be clear about what you want and what you don't want. And sometimes I feel like, you know, people kind of don't know what they want. And I think it's okay to start with what you don't want. Like, if you're not sure of what you want, please at least be sure of what you don't want, what you don't like, what you don't want to see, because that would help you sieve out. And then you eventually find out, okay, I think this is exactly what I want, or this is what I like, or this is how I want to appear and everything. I think that's really wonderful. I love it when you said, you know, if you know your values and you're set on those values, it helps you sieve out in a room full of people to know, okay, this is the kind of person that I want to connect with, so that you don't just connect randomly. Like, if you live your life randomly, you would get a random result. That's a good one right there. Thank you so much. What would be your last word for any young person watching you right now saying, what? He started to think about life at 17 and now he's 24 and he's had all this achievement. What would you like to say to them to encourage them to be on their journey? Because some will be like, I've interacted with people who are like 22, 25 and they're feeling all dejected, depressed, saying, you know, they don't have a life and everything. And I'm like, see, you're still young. You're still young. Like, things, you can still change your life. So what would you have to say to somebody like that?
To someone like that, I would say, paint a picture as clearly and as detailed as you possibly can of what a life worth living would look like to you. Like, go into the deepest of details. What kind of health would you have? What kind of finance? We'll worry about the how later, but I promise it's possible. Just get really clear on it. And also, which kind of the same thing, but not really. Paint a picture of who you would like to be, for you to respect yourself, for you to love yourself, for you to carry yourself in a way where it's like, I'm actually really proud of who I am. Not just, oh, I think I look good. Oh, I think I'm good at soccer. But like, where you truly look in your mirror and you go, nice, well done. What would that look like? And then get clear on it. And then you can kind of reverse engineer back from that and build systems that you know will
help you, get to that point. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Are there any projects you should look forward to from Daniel?
So I actually just wrote a PDF called The 7 Pillars of a World-Class Life. And that's kind of my 7 values that I've tried to build this picture of my world-class life around. I know many people will have some of the same values. Maybe some will have some different values. But that is completely free. It's on my website and also on my Instagram. You can just grab it and download it. I think that will help a lot of people with the clarity aspect, which, from my experience with working with clients, is the most difficult part by far to do on your own. So if you do that, you'll be well on your way.
Fantastic. So I'm going to get the link from you and I'm going to attach the link to this episode so you can get that clarity that you need to get on the journey to this beautiful life that you have designed for yourself. Thank you so much, Daniel, for taking the time to be here today. I wish you all the very best on your journey, continually affecting and, you know, impacting lives as you go on your journey, and keep being amazing. Thank you so very much. Have a lovely rest of the weekend and I'll stay in touch and let you know once the episode is ready to be published.
Love it. Perfect.
Awesome. Yeah. All right, guys, this is where we draw the curtain on this episode. I hope you've learned a thing or two. Thank you for being a part of today's episode. Until I come your way again next week, remember that challenges are not exclusive to you. Every single human on earth goes through a challenge or two. But when we sit and ask ourselves questions, sometimes just reflect, sometimes just, you know, ask for help. But again, is when you think and say, okay, what is this thing here to teach me? You're able to distill, you know, the lessons that these challenges are teaching you, and that will make you a better person in life so you can share your story at some point. So thank you for being a part of the show today. It's like I'm here again next week. This is the Energetic EJ, and this is the Stretch Street Podcast. See you next week. Bye-bye.